Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. Quite recently, Denton West End Community Library celebrated 10 marvellous years of being community-based, community-owned and locally run. And I'm delighted to welcome my guests today. That's Karen McLaughlin and Rachel Massey from Denton West End Community Library. Hello.
Hello.
Now, before we get into all the Denton West End magic, tell me something about yourselves. What did you both do before the library took over your lives, Rachel?
Well, I'm a executive assistant, so I work full time, and at the time I got involved with the library, I had a teenage son, and I was really, really, I thought, much too busy to fit anything else into my life. But there you go.
Karen?
So 10 years ago, I was a mum of two young children. I was a school governor and worked full time, so taking part in the library just took up even more time, but it was brilliant because being a school governor and having two young children really made me realise that, you know, when the library was due to close, it was really important to keep that facility open for the generations to come.
Now, I guess that the story starts back even further than 2012.
Yeah.
But when it became apparent that it looked very likely that the library was threatened with a closure, tell me about that. What happened? What's the story? How did local people get involved? Why did you end up being the local community having to take over the local library?
Okay, so our local council, Tameside Council, earmarked 5 libraries for closure. So there was a public meeting where they were saying Denton West End Library was going to close. So a group of us, like-minded, got together and formed a bit of a friends of group of the library to try and see if it was possible to keep open. That was probably 2 years before we opened, so about 12 years ago. And I guess a core of people from that really did a lot of investigation, spent a lot of time looking if we could get funding, looking if we could have it as a community asset building, looking, writing business plans, speaking to people, just really getting together to try and save the library and just see what we could do with it. We did have the backing of the community, but I guess it's always a core group of people that initially take something forward. So that was about 12 years ago. So we had lots of different negotiations, but in the end we paid full market value for a building from the council. Subsequently we have a 20-year mortgage on it with 10 years to go, so we're halfway there, and we are completely funded and run by volunteers. We are funded through fundraising, events, grant schemes, donations, room hire. So we have no paid staff. It is all volunteer-led and community-based.
And have you been involved since day one, Rachel?
I got involved a little bit further down the line, but just before it opened, I knew Karen, a friend and neighbour, and she said there was a volunteering opportunity for me. I love libraries, I love books, so I thought, this is right up my street. So I did a little bit of training, and I started as doing the 3 hours on a Saturday that we still do. And from there, I thought, I want to see a little bit more about how it runs, how to get more involved. So I went along to a few of the committee meetings, and then from there I became a trustee, probably just a couple of years after that, so maybe for the last 8 years. And I haven't really looked back. I get more and more involved. More and more of my time is used up, but I love it. And yeah, it seems that the more you want to do, the more time you find in your own sort of lifestyle, so it's great.
Just taking you back to, so before all of that, so when it became apparent that the library was going to be taken away, were people outraged by that, or were the local authority contacted? Was asking them why they were making a mistake, or?
Yeah, so the local community were outraged. There was quite a lot of meeting. I think there was more people public in the meeting than they expected at the time. They were outraged because where Denton West is, it's sort of cut off from Denton by the M60. So it's really hard to get to Denton Library if you don't drive or you can't go on the bus. And it really did serve our community. So there was lots of questions asked of Tameside Council. And in fairness, I think it came down to funding for them, and they couldn't fund the amount of libraries that they had. So there was 5 local libraries that were earmarked for closure. Lots of negotiations with them. Mike Oglesby was involved with us and spoke to the leader of the council at the time, Kieran Quinn, and they had discussions around it as well, because Mike, through Forever Manchester, really wanted to support us going forward. They wouldn't allow us to sign it over as a community asset, even though we did try that. And they actually had another group that were interested in buying the building and taking over. So it was like probably the day before that deadline that we actually managed to get our deposit and buy the building. So I would say now our local councillors and MP are quite supportive of everything that we're doing.
So the library was under threat. Local people came together and got involved, and they used their skills, their talents, their contacts and their connections to survey the community, to generate support, to raise money and to lobby the local authority. So what sort of skills were required to do all of that? Was it different people running off in different directions? Was it asset-based, would you say? Was it very much, you're really good at writing reports, go and write as a report?
Yeah, absolutely asset-based. I think there was probably a core of about 4 or 5 of us that did a lot of the, just because of our skills and the areas we work in, did a lot of that work around writing reports, research, finding stuff out, going to visit people, talking to people. And then we had people in the background that were looking after some of the fundraising, building a website and doing all the other support. So I think it really is using those assets that's in the community and using those skills that you've got within the community to build something. And some of it is, it's not always easy to do. A lot of hours were spent doing it, so I would never underestimate how many hours it takes to get set up and to get where we needed to go. It took us 18 months, I guess, to actually get the keys from the initial start. But yeah, very much asset-based and using the skills of the people that were involved.
So I gather at some point along this line there had to be the formation of a committee.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that the committee then managed the individuals that were leading the threads of this takeover between them. Do you think this was... Because I recognise that what you guys have done there and the actual takeover of what was going on at Denton, it was perhaps one of the first sort of asset-based transfers, community transfers, I would imagine. I don't think there would have been many prior to that, do you think?
No.
Genuinely, were one of the first?
I think we were one of the first. And I think... and that makes it hard because there's no one else to research and look at. And subsequently, we have helped another couple of groups and we've sort of supported them and give them a bit of advice and tried to help them through what they're doing to actually become what they are now. So we have done some work with and shared our knowledge through that, our experience really, of going forward.
Was there any sticking points with the local authority, or do you think that it was their first time as well?
There was lots of sticking points, I think, with the local authority. Quite often you hear of community premises being gifted, or they have a peppercorn rent of £1 and you take the building over, or you can do it as a community, like a proper transfer where there's no money involved, it's the whole asset is transferred. And that's what we were really aiming to do. But I guess the sticking point was the council needed the funding. So the building was up for sale. I guess that was a bit of a sticking point for us, actually being able to realise that we could have a mortgage and how much money we had to raise as a deposit.
Okay. Now, ultimately, you've not only saved a much valued community resource, you've equally continued to deliver and develop it by bringing a vital local resource into community ownership and therefore maintaining a local service for the benefit of local people. In hindsight, do you think the proposed closure was probably the best thing that could have happened?
Ooh, now that's controversial, but we have turned it into a community hub, which we're really proud of, and we've got a lot more groups and a lot more going on than, say, 15 years ago when it was a library, council-run library. So, yeah, maybe... Yeah,
mate, definitely maybe.
Definitely maybe.
In the words of my agency,
yeah.
Definitely maybe. Now, am I right in thinking that the entire provision of the library and its many activities as we see today, remain totally dependent and wholly delivered by volunteers?
Yeah, absolutely. Completely delivered by volunteers. Everyone gives their time freely. That's part of the library. We probably have about between 30 and 40 volunteers. Some open the library on a regular basis throughout the week. Others just come to events and support events. Others will do one-off things for us. So very different. People use the skills as they can do.
Now, although the library continues to provide a complete library and community service, I guess it has also undergone some changes in its approach, its attitude, been transformed into a vibrant place where people of all ages and abilities can come together to borrow books and join a variety of activities. Yeah. What do you think local people think about the library and its activities?
We get lots of positive feedback, I must admit we do. It's lovely when they actually come up to you and tell you, you know, how much they've been enjoying various activities, or, you know, they attended one of our events and they liked it, they loved it, and how much they enjoy taking part in the various things that we offer. So yeah, I think we are well known and well liked in the area. I think I can say that.
I would agree. At our 10th birthday party, there was a lady left at the end, and she recently moved back into the area, and how much of a difference it had made just being able to come in and talk to people. You know, you can drop into any of our library sessions and get a cup of tea and a chat. We're a chatty cafe now, so you can just drop in and get a cup of tea and have a chat to someone. And I just think there's lots of friendships been made. So I think it just goes beyond people attending events and activities as well, and it's the extra things that people get out of it. Some of our volunteers go on holiday together now as well.
Really?
So it's yeah. It does make a big difference in, I think, in people's lives.
So things have stemmed from things.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Now, I guess that obviously you're part of the good stuff that goes on in the community. So let's talk Strong Links. And I guess alongside loaning books, you also attract quite a wide range of regular users, because you're not just a library anymore.
We offer knit and natter, and we also have the rhyme time. So you've got things going on for the tots and the toddlers, and then the knit and natter appeals to a different age group, and we have the children's crafts every day, and we've got yoga, we've got the community choir. So yeah. It's just a complete range of people that are catered for, but you know, we take suggestions, and if people want to set up a group, you know, we're all for it. Someone's recently set up a book club.
And what do they do, just bob in and have a chat?
Yeah, they can contact us, they can come in and see us. I'm there on a Saturday. They can contact us on social media, leave a message behind the desk, and we'll get back to them. And yeah, we'll listen to all of their ideas, and if we can take it forwards, we will. And if we can encourage them to take it forwards, that's another great way of doing it.
Brilliant. Now, are there any other community-focused organisations in the area, and do you have good relationships with them?
Yeah, so we're quite lucky in Denton West. We've got St George's Church, and they've really picked up their activities, and there's various things that go on at the church. There's our Dane Bank Green Space and cricket and football. And then most recently, our community centre has got a new committee, and they're really working to refocus that into being a community space. And they're right next door to us, and we've been working with them. Some of our committee are on their committee, and we're hoping to do something in partnership. So really working together. I guess last Christmas when we did the light switch on, the children met at St George's, they made lanterns, and then they walked up to the library to do that parade. And then we recently did the St George's Day, where all the community groups were involved. So very much trying to work together.
I think it says everything, that I think we're getting stronger and stronger.
Now, alongside the links that you've got with other local clubs and groups, the library's also developed into a hive of activity. I was going to say, so what goes on and what can people expect? But I know there's coffee mornings, there's IT workshops.
We have yoga, we have like some of the things Rachel mentioned, the rhyme time, the knit and natter. We have different groups using it, so we have sound bowl sessions, we have a menopause group, we've got a book club going, Brownies user space, lots of different groups.
It's a hive of activity.
Absolutely.
So 10 years on, there's a buzz about the place, it's continuously evolving and clearly demonstrating what can be achieved when a community comes together, which is, for me, that's the story. I know that the library were recent winners of an outstanding community contribution award. given in recognition of a group of local people demonstrating sustained support of their own community. I just can't imagine that it's been all plain sailing.
No.
I should imagine the commitment required is ever evolving and never ending.
Yeah.
Are there any humps? Are there any fallouts, rows? Is it easy to do? Do you ever go home and throw your book at the wall, your notebook
absolutely.
At the wall, and think, that's it, I'm never going back there again?
Yeah, quite often.
I think with any community group or committee, you've got a group of people that are all determined for the same end goal, but I think sometimes how people want to get there is sometimes slightly different. So I think it's about having that conversation, having a space to talk, and not necessarily negotiating, but sometimes being willing to compromise on things that are going on.
Yeah.
Because ultimately you have got the same goal, and that's to keep a community asset open and run a community asset. I think sometimes outside influences can also upset you, things you may hear, especially, I guess, in the initial setting up of the library. Yeah, I think you've just got to have your 2 minutes of not being happy and then move on and carry on.
Yeah.
And your wits about you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the library is very much seen, as far as I'm aware, as a community success story. Do you ever get approached by other communities who are interested in taking over the management and delivery of a community asset? Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, we've had a couple of other libraries that are now community libraries that contacted us via social media, and we've done some talking to them and a local community centre, which Forever Manchester actually put us in touch with, and we did some work with them around just ideas, really, about some of the things we've done that were successful, some of the things that maybe haven't been as successful. But you learn, don't you? You're on a journey all the time, so you do learn.
Now, I can tell you're dedicated to it, because obviously you keep coming back, you keep volunteering, you keep watching it grow and develop. Has it been fun?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. So I'm still really busy, but you do all the other stuff. You're a joint chair, you do the social media, but I don't seem to be able to keep away on a Saturday either, so... I like to stamp the books. I like to serve the coffee. So if you come in on a Saturday, I'll make you a brew.
Fantastic.
I'll get you a biscuit.
Now, do you think the interest and the connections with the community have strengthened since the library gained its own independence?
I personally do. I think I grew up on the same estate in Denton West, and I think now there's a lot more community stuff goes on, and a lot more people work together. I think there's a bit of a different vibe. I think people are starting to realise the value of the community coming together and doing stuff.
I'm going to round off with a few quick-fire questions and observations to wrap up, OK? And you can come back at me with quick-fire answers if you want, and perhaps one or two comments if you fancy. You don't have to, by the way. I believe you two were invited to attend a royal garden party at Buckingham Palace.
Oh, we were, yeah. We even bought new frocks, new hats.
Any good? Enjoy it?
It was really good. It was something completely different, something I didn't think I'd ever get to do, but we loved it, didn't we?
Yeah,
Rachel,
it's absolutely amazing.
You know all about car auctions.
I do, yes, that's where I work.
Karen, social prescribing is what you do for a living. Describe social prescribing.
Okay, so I'm social prescribing manager over at Action Together. So we have a social prescribing team in Tameside who work with people that they might be isolated, might have bereavement, they might need support with practical activities. There's so much that they do, and my team go out and we'll work one-to-one with that individual, generally to get them into community activities across Tameside.
Rachel, what's a soul sonic sound bath, and have you ever had one?
I have, and it's fabulous. So we have those quite regularly on a Thursday. So Joe and Gary come in and do the sound baths, and while I'm there I open up and close, so I might as well take part, and they are extremely relaxing, and I can recommend them to anybody.
Karen, tell me about Cardboard Cosmos in just a few words.
I think Cardboard Cosmos is just fun for kids, any age group really, to make things with cardboard and just come along and have fun and enjoy and be creative.
And finally, have either of you ever forgotten to return a book?
Yes,
I think I've got some at home, actually, that are overdue.
Ladies, thank you for taking the time to chat today.
Thank you.
Can I wish you every success at all you do at Denton West End Community Library, and everyone you engage, every success and much continued success for the future. And here's to the next decade. Karen and Rachel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app, and if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out forevermanchester.com.